Awesome. So I'm going to jump into a message right now. And if you're anything like me, you're probably sitting there thinking it's just starting now. but good news for you is it's not going to be long-winded, okay? It's going to be it's just going to be from my heart. I was just thinking a lot and praying a lot about this day and just thinking, you know, what is a message that would really speak to both the young people in the congregation and the old people? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But first, let's just open in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for these amazing stories that we've heard today, God, how the people have decided to be baptized and follow you, how people have found a safe place to find you, God, to ask questions and to seek you and follow you with their whole heart. A place where we can come and just invite others to follow you as well. And so, God, I just pray as we open in your word, God, just that you would speak to our hearts. God, just to the very depths of our being, that my words would not be heard, but that your words would be heard. We just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Right on. So this morning, I'm talking about someone to look up to. We all need someone in our lives that we can look up to. Someone whose example we can follow. Someone who inspires us. Someone who calls out the best in us and speaks life into us. And for those of you that know me, you know that I'm a dad. And one of the things that I love about being a dad is simply that my kids look up to me. In their eyes, I can do no wrong. You know, my kids are Caleb is 4 and Lovelin is 2, so they're still young enough that they think that I'm cool. They're still young enough that they actually look up to me. And so it's really exciting. I can do no wrong. I'm the best at everything, you know, at least everything that matters. I'm the best at hide and seek. I'm the best at telling stories. I'm the best at building Lego or giving pony rides. And most importantly of all, I'm best at answering questions, all of the questions. Caleb is always asking me question after question after question. It was really cute. One day, I overheard him talking to one of his little friends, and they asked him a question. He didn't know the answer to it, and he's like, I don't know. You should ask my dad. He knows everything. So I know everything. I have it by a very good source. He's 4 years old. But being a dad is just the best, you know. I feel bad for Mel sometimes. She loves them and looks after them and clothes them and feeds them and cleans up after them and cuddles them when they fall down and teaches them things. And then I come home, throw them on the couch a few times, and she might as well be chopped liver. Like, I'm a dad is home. And any moms there might know what I'm talking about, but they love their mom. But there's just that special admiration that they have for dad. You know, the other day, without any prompting, Lovelin comes up to me and she hugs my leg. I love that they do that. They just hug your leg. It's so cute. And she said, Daddy, you're my best friend. And now she can do whatever she wants. So I don't know if that was a scam or what, but it's working. You see, to my kids, I'm someone to look up to. I'm the smartest and the funniest and the strongest. And actually, you know what? I just need to pause for a second on that point of being the strongest. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook, but there's been this photo circulating. And I don't know who photoshopped it, but my arms, I don't remember them looking that small. You want to put it up? So I thought I would set the record straight this morning and show you what the photo really looked like before it was photoshopped. There we go. So, I don't know what the growth is out of that arm, but... So now, you all have someone to look up to for gym goals as well. You know, you know, just like my kids need someone to look up to, I think it's the same with our spiritual walk. In our spiritual walk, in our faith journey, we need someone to look up to as well. Someone to inspire us and call out the best in us. You know, someone in relationship who can gently challenge us and encourage us. And as a young pastor, I found that surrounding myself by older pastors who've been at this a while has actually been very, very formative in my life. Just taking the opportunity to learn and grow from them. And the passage that we're going to read this morning in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul talks to a young pastor named Timothy. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to him to encourage him. And he encourages him to be someone that others can look up to. And if you've got your Bible with you, you can flip there. It's 1 Timothy 4:12. If not, you can look to the screen. It'll be there as well. He says this. He says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." You see, Timothy was a pastor of a large church in Ephesus. And Paul wrote two letters to him, 1st and 2nd Timothy. And a quick read of these letters, it becomes very apparent that Timothy and others around him in his church really questioned whether or not he had what it took to be a pastor. Whether he had the abilities and the skills necessary. And it wasn't because he was incompetent. It was because he was young. And, you know, I think quite often the same happens to us today. And in his second letter, Paul reminds Timothy of his divine calling and encourages him to walk in that authority. He says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." See, Paul reminds Timothy that God's gifting on his life, the gift of God which is in him, that even though there are voices telling him that he doesn't have what it takes, that he isn't good enough, Paul reminds him that God has chosen him and not anyone else. He's chosen him to lead. Paul goes on to challenge Timothy not to be timid, but to be confident and courageous. He tells him that this confidence does not come from his own ability or his own strengths, but from the Spirit, from the gift of God that he has. And, you know, there's a bit of speculation to how old Timothy was. Some people think that maybe he was as old as 30 or even 40, but he could have been much younger than that. But I think it's not his exact age that matters. What I think matters is that his age in comparison to those around him. See, for his position, for his title, he was very young. And I think that perspective is really important. So this morning, I'm going to use terms like old. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to use terms like young. But understand that those terms are relative to you. They're relative to where you're at and who you're surrounded by. Right? If you're around a bunch of people that are older than you, then you are young. You know, for some of you in this room, that's a great thing. You know, for those of you who would maybe consider yourself young and you're surrounded by people that are much younger than you, you are old, like me. I think I'm young. The youth constantly remind me that I am old and dated. And so Paul knew that Timothy's age may have caused others to question his competency, but he saw something that the skeptics didn't. He saw the Spirit of God on his life. So instead of belittling him, the apostle encourages him to be who God has called him to be. Not to let the haters or the skeptics get to him. He encourages him to set an example, to be someone that both young and old can look up to for spiritual guidance. And I can only imagine what that would have meant for a young pastor like Timothy to have the apostle Paul write him these letters and encourage him in such a powerful way. And this relationship between Paul and Timothy is an example of how we as the church, made up of many different generations, should be in relationship with one another. See, this begins with a healthy understanding of what it means to be a spiritually mature Christian. See, like you and I, the Ephesians equated maturity with gray hair and age and experience. But Paul challenges our cultural understanding of maturity. And he says, no, even though you're young, set an example. Set an example in speech and how you talk. Set an example in action and in conduct and in how you live your life. Set an example in your motives, in love, in faith, and in purity. Don't wait until someday. Start now. Hear that, young person? Don't wait till someday. Start now. And so the gateway to understanding this unique relationship between Paul and Timothy is this. And that is that age does not equal spiritual maturity. Age does not equal spiritual maturity. You know, the Bible certainly talks about how with age often comes maturity. In the book of Job, it actually says, is not wisdom found among the age? And does not long life bring understanding? To God belong wisdom and power. Counsel and understanding are his. The thing about this passage is it both recognizes that maturity and wisdom come with age, while also acknowledging that they ultimately belong to God. And that whoever God chooses to put his spirit on, whether old or young, unstoppable things can happen. And so, don't be quick to discount the maturity of another believer because of their age. You know, the Bible is full of story after story where inexperienced and young men and women did incredible things for God's kingdom. And, you know, I'll just take a couple examples. The classic go-to for most preachers is David. You know, David was anointed as king of Israel as a teenage boy, but he was so far off the list of possibilities that his dad left him in a field, right? And then next we've got Samuel. Samuel was called to serve the Lord at a young age, and he had a mentor, Eli, and he heard the word from God and had to tell Eli that he was going to die because of all of his sin. And then later, Samuel became a prophet. We've got Esther, a courageous young woman forced into a marriage relationship with a king through courageous obedience, saves the entire nation of Israel from being wiped out from genocide. We've got Jeremiah. I love this story. In the first chapter of Jeremiah, God says, Jeremiah, you're going to be a prophet. And Jeremiah says, I'm too young. And God says, that's not an excuse. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it's pretty much that straightforward. So throughout the Bible, God demonstrates that it's not age, but the Spirit that empowers people to do incredible things. And so this challenge was extended to Timothy. After telling him, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, Paul immediately goes to set an example. Set an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith and purity. Through whole life obedience. See, because this level of spiritual maturity isn't about just what you say. It's not just about what you do. It's were your actions inspired by love? Were they guided by faith? Were your motives pure? And so Paul challenges him to be this kind of example. To live as an example in this way is the true mark of Christian maturity. When the public and the private person are one and the same. This is what Paul calls Timothy to and what we are now called to. Timothy is not the only example in this passage, though. We've spent a lot of time on Timothy so far, but he's not the only one. Behind the pen, there is an aged, spiritually mature man who has done countless great things, greater things than any of us in this room could probably even dream of. Countless great things for the kingdom of God. But instead of discounting Timothy as a young punk, like so many other people had done, he calls out greatness in him. He speaks life to him. He points out his greatest insecurities and he says, no, there's something there. God will give you the strength. God will give you what you need. He supports him. Paul believed in him and invested time into his life. And so if I can encourage all of us in this room not to have a, oh, kids these days mentality, not to have a, man, those darn young people, they did this again idea, But instead of focusing on flaws and imperfections, what would happen if we spoke life to the next generation? What if we called out greatness in them? What if we said, God has an amazing plan and calling on your life? What if we looked at their actions and said, you are more than this? What if we looked at the lies that people have told them their entire lives and said, you are more than this? God has something more for you. In the same way, younger people, don't be too quick or too proud to take advice from an older person. I know it's hard. I remember being a teenager and I knew everything. But what would have happened to Timothy if he had just discounted Paul? If he just said, Paul's too old and washed up. I'm just going to do things my own way. See, the beauty of the body of Christ is that we need each other. The young people need encouragement and not criticism. And I think for the older people, they need to be inspired. They need to be inspired by young people that the best days aren't behind, but they're still to come. They need to be inspired that God is still moving and in powerful, incredible ways. And so we need each other. So we can look up to the young, we can look up to the old, but ultimately, we all need to look up to one person. Jesus Christ. You know, Paul famously wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. In order to be someone that others can look up to, you must first look up to Jesus. At youth, we have a discipleship course. We call it Leaders in Training. And we have kind of a little catchphrase that explains what it is and what we do. And it's simply this. It says, following Jesus and leading others to do the same. And that's what we're all called to, friends. We're all called to follow Jesus first and invite others to come and do the same with us. You see, all of us are called to be like Jesus. He alone is perfect in speech. He alone is perfect in conduct. He alone is perfect in love, perfect in faith, and perfect in purity. You know, we're called to aspire to these things, but ultimately we have to humbly admit that we aren't those things, but Jesus is. See, being an example that someone can look up isn't about being the man or being the woman. It's more about being a looking glass. And what I mean by that is this past summer, my family went on vacation on Pender Island. It was beautiful. The kids got to explore all the beaches. There were all kinds of amazing lookouts. And there was this one lookout. It was a brisk and pretty steep climb. And my wife and I go hiking all the time, so it wouldn't have been too big for us, maybe a light sweat or something. But we had our children. And through much sweat from carrying children on our backs and many, many tears from them, I think we were all dehydrated by the time we got to the top. But we made it to the top. And there's just a beautiful view. There's this beautiful view. You can see I'm from the prairies, and I just love the ocean. And there's the ocean, and there's these islands, and there's these ships going through. You know, and there's this looking glass right there. And we all took turns looking through the looking glass, and it was really cool. You know, you see a ferry, and you're like, oh, hey, I can see a person on there. And, oh, what are they? Yeah, anyways. And you see, like, towns, and I think we even saw a plane fly in and nestled in all these islands. It was amazing. And we didn't climb that hill and go through all that struggle to see the looking glass. We didn't come up there to take a selfie with, hey, check out this thing. It's nice and shiny. It's bright. Look at it. But no, what happened is when we came and we used the looking glass, the attention was drawn off of itself and onto the view. And that is what a good example of Christ does. They don't invite people to say, come and look at me. Come and look at how amazing I am. They say, come and look at Jesus. See how my life is actually just a really pale reflection of him. Come look at Jesus. And so practically, how do we lead this way? How do we turn the eyes off of ourselves and lead people to see Jesus? I just have a few points to close with. The first one is to build your relationship with Jesus. Build your relationship with Jesus. It's all about that number one relationship. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more you are obedient to him and listen to his voice, the more you begin to reflect his glory and look like him. So just be with Jesus. Invest time in that relationship. The second is really simple. Build your relationships with others. And this sounds really simple and really basic, but it can be really scary. You know, to be an older person to come up to a young person and say, "Hey, how's it going?" or vice versa can be terrifying. It was really funny. I remember, just as a side note, when I started being a youth pastor, I'm an introvert, and I had all these young people, and I'm just standing here, and I'm like, "How do I talk to these people?" I'm just a weird old guy with a beard. It's weird. I show up at the high school with donuts and a beard, and I expect people not to notice. But you know, it can be a little scary. But if we don't build that relationship, if we don't build that trust, then you don't have license to speak into anyone's life. So build that relationship. And finally, model repentance over perfection. Model repentance over perfection. And this is all about turning eyes off of you and onto Jesus. Saying, "You know what? I'm doing everything I can to live like Jesus. But when I fail, I turn to Jesus." And so your failure is actually an example. Your failure teaches others that when they fail, that they turn to Jesus. So model repentance over perfection. Lean on the power of the Holy Spirit and not on your own power to be an example. And finally, find someone younger you can encourage and someone older that you can inspire. Pastor Brett, I don't know if you and the team wanted to come and do a song. I think we've got time. We've got time for a song. I just really want to send us out this morning on just like a really big push. That's what this is. This is a push. A really big push. And so once again, it's just all about what has Jesus done in your life and how can you share that with those around you? It doesn't have to be big and scary and intimidating. Just build that relationship with Jesus, build relationships with others, and model repentance over perfection. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you that it's true and alive, and I just pray that what you've spoken into hearts this morning, God, would take root. God, I thank you that ultimately, as we turn our eyes to you, as we follow you, that we're closer than we realize, that generation gaps close, differences close, differences of opinion close. As we focus our hearts and our attentions and our minds on Jesus, everything just becomes that much clearer. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name.